Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
We have nothing settled. 52 seconds on the clock. Fans rise as one here at Pfizer Forum. Holiday, step back three. Yes, sir! Cold-blooded Drew Holiday.
Holiday lifting the Bucks to a perfect start as we begin the third week of the NBA season. I'm Justin Garcia. This is Bucks Weekly here until 9 o'clock this evening.
Adam Roberts.
We are going to check in with Gale Klappa momentarily for his courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks and Gale's guest this week. But before we get to that, let's recap how we got here. And we mentioned the Bucks, the only unbeaten team in the NBA. There was some NBA news today. I know this is Bucks Weekly, but the story coming out of New York just continues to get more and more bizarre. So we will touch on Steve Nash being fired and the framing that they agreed to part ways. And moments later, it was Woj reporting, no, Steve Nash was fired. And then a little bit after that, Shams Charania is saying, well, maybe it was technically a firing, but he wanted out of there too. So it was a mutual parting of the ways. But, I mean, think about the last 4 months in the Eastern Conference for the Brooklyn Nets especially. Ben Simmons and that whole saga is a complete afterthought. Everything that's going on with – we're not even going to give the attention to what was said there. Everything that's going on with their point guard. Kevin Durant asking for a trade, asking for Steve Nash and Sean Marks to be fired. The Nets realizing, you know what, we're not going to be able to recoup enough assets if we trade Kevin Durant, but we're also not going to fire these two guys, at least right now. Kevin Durant stays. Kevin Durant has been very good so far this year. The Nets have not been very good. Steve Nash gets fired. The not just what's going on in Brooklyn, the Eastern Conference we mentioned. Ime Udoka in June is leading the Boston Celtics to the NBA Finals. We don't know the details of what happened, but I do know two things. A team with a young nucleus that Ime Udoka is credited with really turning around and getting the most out of, that team goes to the NBA Finals, and months later, they are willing to say, you are suspended for the year and put out the feelers that basically you will never coach for us again. So something serious went on. We know there was Ime Udoka having an inappropriate, as it's been termed, consensual relationship with someone on staff in Boston with the Celtics. But if it gets to that point, this may be a little worse than we anticipated. And also think about this. The Boston Celtics, again, your Eastern Conference representatives in the finals 4.5 months ago. They were willing to let him leave. He was still under contract. They were willing to let him walk free and clear. We don't even need anything. We don't need picks, nothing. Brooklyn, take him. That should also tell you something about that situation. Number two, how many times do you see a coach outside of the organization agree to take a job for a fired coach within the season? You don't see coaches do that because it kind of goes against the coaching fraternity. It's usually the interim guy that'll take over, gets that job for the remainder of the season. Who knows? If you do a good job, you might have it the next season as well. Kind of the position that Joe Mazzulla is in with the Celtics. You do not very often see a coach say, all right, you fired him? All right, yeah, now I'm interested. I kind of get the feeling Ime Udoka may not be all that great of a guy from all of this. But nonetheless, we don't have to worry about any of that with the Bucks because Giannis has clearly been the best player in the league. We all know that, having watched this team for the last few years. You know Giannis is the best in the world. But the questions you had coming into the season were, Eastern Conference is going to be better. And no Chris Middleton to start the season. There is some Chris Middleton news we'll get to. Then Pat Connaughton goes down late in the preseason. Pat Connaughton has yet to play yet. You use your mid-level on Joe Ingles. You've yet to see Joe Ingles so far this season. And you're 6-0 because Giannis is still the best player in the world, because Drew Holiday's defense is always there even when his offense isn't. And as you heard at the top of the show, his offense has been there the last couple of games. And because it is never too early to start the campaign for Brook Lopez to be an all-star this season. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Weekly. There is some Chris Middleton news. We'll dissect that. And that news is he practiced with Wisconsin Herd today. On this show last week, we'll hear from Gale Klappa momentarily. Gale Klappa's guest last week was Bucks team president Peter Fagan, who kind of revealed that Chris is about a week away. That was 7 days ago. I'm not saying Chris Middleton's going to play tomorrow, but Chris Middleton's close to a return. Pat Connaughton, you do the math, that's this weekend, Monday, would seem like his likely return. His team is starting to get healthy, and they're banking wins, which is really important in an improved Eastern Conference. So plenty of time to hear from you. We'll take a look at what the Chris Middleton timeline means, what we learned today about him practicing with the Wisconsin Herd. Take a look at the biggest performances we've seen from that second unit, and as always, give you your marquee matchup of the week. But when we return, we'll head courtside and hand things over to Gale Klappa for this week's interview. You'll hear that after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well. Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lansry.
Talking about your favorite basketball team from on the court to off.
You never know. You might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this. I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The leaves are falling. The temperatures have cooled. But out of the gate in this brand new season, the Bucks are red hot. 6-0, the only undefeated team in the NBA. Tonight, we sit down with the architect, the guy who handles the trades, the free agent signings, the draft picks, the guy who puts the talent on the floor. He's in his sixth season as the general manager of the Bucks, and John Horst has shown he knows how to build a winner. John, as always, thanks for joining us here on Courtside.
Thanks, Gale. My pleasure. I'm excited to be on the show.
Well, John, with the Bucks off to such a great start, honestly, they're making you look like a genius for your off-season work. Basically, you put the band back together again. Tell us, if you will, about the key signings and the strategy that returned 14 players to the Bucks roster this year.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Gale. You know, the strategy is really that we have a team that we believe in. We have a core group of guys that are proven winners. You know, we've won as many games or more games than any other team in the NBA in the Bud era, you know, both playoff and regular season. And we have really good players, and the league wants really good players, and free agency is hard. And so retaining your own team sometimes is hard, and it's a big deal. And so being able to get guys like Bobby Portis to re-sign with us, and Wes Matthews and Javon Carter and Serge Ibaka, those were big deals for us. And Jordan Wara kind of late in free agency, you know, having players extend with us like Drew Holiday has done in the past and you know, Pat Connaughton did with us here recently. Those are big deals. And so it's really a testament to the group, you know, our belief in the players and what we have and the core of what we have, and that we can win with what we have. And you're not going to win every year. We always talk about you have to be lucky, you have to be good, and you have to be healthy. 2 years ago we won. Last year we didn't win. You know, this year we hope we have a chance to win. We hope we built a team that has a chance to win. We did have one key addition in my mind that's new to the group, Joe Ingles, who's yet to play for us, but is doing incredibly well coming off of an ACL injury last season. And, you know, we believe that Joe will be ready when it matters most for us and really can have a huge impact on this team and be a big addition to the group that we already have a high belief in.
John, very interesting. And it reminds me, the conversation we're having today reminds me of a chat you and I had a couple of years ago, actually. I asked you then about free agents, and you said without hesitation that the most important acquisition you made in your career was Brook Lopez. And I'll bet after the first six games of this season, you still feel that way.
Absolutely. You know, Brook is someone who I care a ton about personally, professionally, has been one of the brighter spots in my career and the group that I get to work with. You know, one of the better things that we've done, and really a credit to all of those guys for their scouting and their analysis and, you know, the player development that we go through and the strength and conditioning. But Brook is, he's fantastic, Gale. I mean, he's an anchor for our defense. He impacts our rebounding in a significant way. He's always had the ability to stretch the floor offensively and shoot the three. And he's an offensive threat and weapon, you know, in other areas as well. I say to guys all the time, one of the hard things to do in the NBA in offense is to be a three-level scorer. And usually that's held for your guards and wings. But Brook Lopez is a big that can score at all three levels. He can score in the paint. He can score in the mid-range and at the free throw line. And he can score from the perimeter at the three-point line. So he's had a great start to the year. You know, we have a top-rated defense in the NBA. We have one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA. We're blocking the second most shots in the NBA. I think Brook is blocking the most shots in the NBA. Really a lot of that's a credit to him and his impact.
And John, as you recall, Brook missed 69 games last season recovering from back surgery. I swear, though, he seems to have found the fountain of youth with the way he is moving on the court. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he looks fantastic, doesn't he? He had a great offseason. He worked incredibly hard getting through that back surgery last year to have, I think, a very successful playoff run for us. And I thought he played really well at the end of our regular season and in the playoffs. And he worked hard to do that. And he continued his work and his routines and his habits in the offseason. His body looks fantastic. You know, he's in great shape, great condition. You know, his legs got a little bit of a rest last year. I'm sure that has an impact as well. And he's motivated, I think, to show the league and to show the organization and his teammates just how good he is and what kind of impact he can have. And I have no doubt that the impact in the play that Brook has shown so far this season is something that we're going to see all year.
And, John, you mentioned earlier the contract extension for Bobby Portis. His popularity here, as you know, is just off the charts. And as a player, and it'd be interesting your thoughts on this, he seems to have just blossomed in Coach Bud's system.
Absolutely. I think perfect fit, and that's part of our jobs in this business is to find fits. You know, not every player is good for every system, and not every system is good for every player, and that's the reason, you know, sometimes players are just significantly different or better or worse in different situations. And I think Bobby was a player that we tracked for a long time and really felt like he could fit well in our system, fit well next to Giannis and Drew and Chris and Brooke and the whole thing. And, you know, his energy, his tenacity, his passion for the game is infectious. I think that's why our fans love him so much and his teammates love him. You know, he's a very skilled player. Again, a guy that can score at all three levels, offensive rebound, finish around the goal, great mid-range game, either in an ISO or a post-up situations, but also in catch-and-shoot situations. And then you just a deadly three-point weapon, you know, kind of in the corners, top of the key, above the break, doesn't matter where he's at. And so he's been a great fit for us. I believe we've been a great fit for him. I love, you know, some of his comments he's made publicly that, you know, the city of Milwaukee and the organization have changed his life. And that's special because I think, you know, this stuff is bigger than sport and basketball. And these are real relationships and real people that we invest in. And to get the rewards, personal rewards that we've gotten with Bobby for him being here and him for, you know, being with us, I think is pretty cool.
And, John, we now have two mayors in Milwaukee, the one that was just elected, and then Bobby Portis from fan acclaim, which is amazing, isn't it?
So amazing that I almost want to hear you just go with a Bobby chant. I like your version of the Bobby chant.
Yeah, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. Amen.
I love it. That's the Gale Clapa Bobby chant. That was good.
And one more question about the free agent signings. A name relatively new to Bucks fans who came on board last year, kind of left for dead in New York, but Javon Carter, and what's he meant to this team?
Wow, Javon has been great. You know, we as always, you know, we really work hard to try to find great fits near the end of the year that we think can help us in the playoffs and really propel us and learn more about a player going into free agency. And Javon was an available player that we targeted and we were able to get. And I thought he played great for us, you know, down the stretch last year. I thought he was great in the playoffs and was a sought after free agent, you know, not someone who was short of job offers and opportunities. And we were able to, in free agency, work on a way to keep him and bring him back. And I think, you know, I thought he was great in our preseason. And I think he's been great so far this year. He's been pushed into a role to start for us, and we've done well, you know, with the team, with him starting for us. I don't know if that'll be his role the rest of the way or not. You know, a lot to be determined. But he's just a guy that can impact the game in a lot of ways. Big-time defender, very good open catch and shoot, three-point shooter. You know, he's gotten better at really playing with the ball in his hands and making point guard decisions, and just an ultimate competitor and a great person. So could not say enough about Javon and what he's meant to us. And I think the future is really bright for Javon Carter and the Milwaukee Bucks.
We'll have more with John Horst in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gail Plapa with Bucks GM John Horst.
John, we obviously can't talk about the Bucks without talking about Giannis. He's chasing history, doing things on the court that literally make your jaw drop. But over the weekend, he made an interesting comment. He said this season he still hasn't found his rhythm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a personal opinion and comment from him, and only he knows, you know, where he's kind of at his peak and when he feels like he's in his rhythm. I think, you know, he's the reigning, you know, NBA player of the week in the Eastern Conference. He continues to impress and do things that you know, we haven't seen out of him. I think he ranks second in the NBA in second half scoring this year. So he's learning to play with pace and pick his spots. You know, he's averaging close to 34, 13 and six, I think. Really, really kind of gaudy numbers. Our defense is playing fantastic. And Giannis, I think, is one of the best, if not the best, defensive rebounders in the game, double digit defensive rebounders in the game. You know, he and Bobby, in fact, Gale, are averaging double doubles on the season. I think there's only 13 players in the league doing that. And we've got two of them, you know. And so I don't know when he'll hit his perfect rhythm or his perfect stride. Only he knows that and what that feels like. But he's been amazing for us. You know, we've had a great start to the season. We're a little bit shorthanded in doing that. And a lot of that credit goes to him and his greatness and how competitive he's been from the get and how good he's played from the open. So I love that he wants more. We all want more. We always want to do better. That's the mentality of our organization, is to get better every day and not be satisfied where we're at. But I'm also very, very thankful and grateful for what he's done so far this year.
And, John, as the season progresses, I assume we're going to hear more dad jokes from Giannis, correct?
Also a personal opinion and preference of Giannis. Yeah, I would assume so. He has an incredible sense of humor. I always say he's not only an incredible competitor, teammate, and athlete, just an absolute great person, and he's a great dad. You know, I really love the way that he interacts with his family. It's pretty special.
And John, you mentioned 6-0, the only undefeated team in the league, and as you pointed out, we're doing it a bit shorthanded without three key players. If you will, John, give us an update on the status of Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, and then Joe Ingles, who we know will not be back until later in the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, those guys all figure into being in our top rotation, you know, whatever number that cuts out to be, and even into the playoffs. You know, I think these are guys that are on our team because we believe in them. We believe they can impact playoff basketball. You know, Chris, obviously the importance of him and who he is for our organization, you know, gold medalist and all-star, you know, just a really star level player in this league. And I think we're close. You know, I really think Chris could be back, you know, for us in relatively short order. And, you know, it's a little too early to put any timelines on that, but he's doing really, really well. You know, Pat, I feel the same. You know, I think Pat, when he had his injury, I think we said 3 weeks, and we're probably, you know, coming up on that 3 week mark here in the next 10 or 12 days. And then Joe, as you mentioned, you know, Joe is doing incredibly well with the ACL rehab. And, you know, I think he still figures to be sometime, you know, in the January timeframe. But the thing, Gale, that's important to note with all of these guys is we're not going to push any of them. You know, we're not going to rush any of this. They're very important players, and we have big aspirations and big goals, and we need to get better every day. And their teammates are doing an incredible job giving us confidence in that and comfort in that, because they're really kind of holding the fort and playing incredibly well together and playing great basketball. And so we'll welcome those guys with open arms when they're ready, but we're not going to rush any of it.
No, that makes so much sense. And, John, I noticed last night against the Pistons that one of our key starters, Grayson Allen, limped off the court and did not return. What can you tell us about Grayson's knee?
Yeah, I think Grayson's fine, you know, and you know, as these things are, they're always day to day, and you just got to kind of see how they all kind of turn out. I think he ended up getting a knee knock, and those are very, very uncomfortable and painful. And I think, you know, we've played a lot of games in a few days, and so I think Grayson will be fine next game, and I know he's fine long term. So nothing serious or substantial with Grayson.
Oh, that's great to hear. And we've got a limping head coach with Coach Bud. When do you think he'll be back at full strength?
Bud is doing fantastic. His rehabs went really, really well. And he's at full strength. You know, he's really just he's working on his walking and his strength and his swelling and all the things you got to deal with when you're kind of rehabbing every single day. I mean, have not seen a more dedicated patient than Coach Bud over these last few months. And I know he's excited to kind of be past all this, but he looks great, and he's kind of giving it his all. You know, it's not easy to be up on the sideline every night doing that. So really a credit to him for fighting through all this.
And for our listeners, Coach Bud had ankle surgery during the off season. You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, Gale Klappa and John Horst on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's Gale Klappa with the GM of the Bucks, John Horst.
John, let's step back and perhaps just reflect a bit. You were named the Bucks general manager in the summer of 2017. Curious about what in the job has surprised you so far?
There's so much that I think in a job like these and like this and an opportunity like this that has surprised me. You think, as is the case probably in many of these instances in life, you think that you understand what a job is or what the opportunity is or the stress or the pressures or you know, the decision making, but you don't really know until you really kind of take that step and you make the move. And you know, the thing that sticks out to me most is probably just the amount of time dedicated to kind of managing and organizing, you know, and really operating an organization relative to, you know, scouting and talent evaluation and strategy, you know. And so you think the job is all about building a roster, but it's not. It's about, you know, helping to build a culture in an organization and all that goes into it. So just think the time disbursement or you know, the time focused on really managing versus kind of, you know, talent evaluation has really surprised me.
Now, John, that makes sense. I think for all of us who've been fortunate to be in leadership roles, time, I think we all find, is our most valuable asset and what you have to manage the most. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, John, speaking of being in the role now for several years, what's probably the most important thing you think you've learned as GM?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are important. You know, I'll maybe give you like a quick story. And the day that I got hired, and really in the weeks and the months following, the amount of messages that you get and connection to people reaching out are overwhelming. And there were many that were great and supporting, but one that always just stuck out to me from Tim Connolly, now the president of the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, Tim just sent me a very simple message, and it said, have fun, surround yourself with great people, and don't take it too seriously. And the reason I think that works in our business by and large is because we're all competitors. And so we care so much about this, and we focus on it, try so hard, and we take it so seriously that to be reminded that the opposite is okay is probably the balance you need. And I think what I've learned to kind of come full circle is you have to have balance. And without balance, I can't be successful as a father or a husband. And I probably can't be very successful as an executive or a leader also. And so that's a really hard thing to do because we're so motivated and we're so driven and we're so competitive in these jobs and in these opportunities that surrounding myself with good people, having fun, and not taking it too seriously is really something that's stuck with me, you know, each and every day.
Yeah, terrific advice. And John, I know that you're known for your pent-up energy before a game. Tell our listeners, if you will, about your pregame routine.
Yeah, I guess it goes a little bit to the how much we care about this. You know, like, we're all competitors, and you want to win. You want to win every single chance you get, every possession, every play. But when you're an executive, you don't really have much of an outlet. You just watch. And it's probably a lot like being a fan, but a fan with a lot more at stake. And so, you know, one of the things that has been great for me in my life, and especially in this career, is, you know, I got a lot of people that love to play pickup hoops. And so we, the best that we can at home, we try to play pickup hoops before every home game, you know, play for an hour. And it's everybody. It's front office folks. It's medical folks. It's coaches. It could be folks from the business side. It could be visiting teams, executives that we invite over. We just try to get out there and we get an hour or so, an hour and a half so of running, you know, on a game day when things kind of settle down and quiet here before the game. And it's a great way to kind of start the day, you know, just that physical, or start, I should say, the evening before you go into a game, that physical release and that exertion and that competitive spirit. Because when you get to the game, you can just watch, and that's hard.
Absolutely. Oh, fascinating. And finally, John, on a personal note, I know that you and your family really enjoy living in Milwaukee. You and your wife, Mia, have a young son and a young daughter. And I'm wondering where your daughter gets her musical talent, because I'm guessing it may be in from you. What do you think, John?
Well, you know, I probably didn't spend as much time or effort as I should have in my musical ventures as a kid. But I do love playing the piano. I took lessons growing up for a few years. It's one of my other releases. I love to sit down on a piano and just tickle the ivories, as they say. And I've enjoyed that. My daughter has grown up with music and hearing music. I love listening to music. And so she's played the violin, my daughter Sophie, since she was 4 years old. She's now 9. And she's very, very good. And she also now plays the piano. And my son Zeke, who's 6, started guitar a year ago and is, or a little less than a year ago, and is really doing well with guitar. So they have some musical talent in them from our family. And then they have a great mother who really sacrifices, my wife Mia sacrifices time and gets them to their lessons, and they enjoy it, you know, so they wouldn't be doing it if they don't enjoy it. We don't force it on them, but they enjoy it. They're good at it. And it's fun to have kids that, love music and are good at music.
Now that's terrific. It really is. And maybe one day in the next few years, your daughter could play violin for the national anthem at the opening of a Bucks game.
So her dream, Gail, would be that in a Bango costume, you know, with Bango, because she loves mascots. She's either going to be a musician or a mascot. I'm not sure which one.
That's terrific. Outstanding. Well, John, as always, we appreciate the visit. Always fun to chat with you. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klappa and Bucks GM John Horst. You can catch that podcast if you missed any of the interview. You can hear it podcasted on our Bucks flagship podcast feed. There is one game in action, and remember, Tuesdays are the new national day. They've basically replaced Thursdays. The NBA deciding we don't want to go head-to-head with Thursday night football, so Thursdays are the NBA TV night. Tuesdays are the Inside the NBA night. So your first of these national marquee matchups, Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. And this is not the debut of Ime Udoka. Jacques Vaughn is the interim coach for the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn was winning. A big run by the Bulls has changed that. And it is now 101-92. So the Brooklyn Nets, with 4 minutes left, down 9, 4 minutes away from a 2-6 start to the season. We already saw Steve Nash fired earlier today. Who knows what the future holds for Kevin Durant or their point guard or the rest of the players on that roster, but an absolute disaster to open up the season in Brooklyn. It has not been a disaster to open up the season for the Bucks. 6-0 start. I mentioned some of the news that we got. Chris Middleton practicing with the Wisconsin Herd today. Now, it wasn't all good news. AJ Green is going to miss some time with a broken nose. But Chris Middleton practicing with the Wisconsin Herd earlier today, you get the sense, seeing that coupled with, again, what we heard from Peter Fagan a week ago, you get the sense Chris is a couple days away from returning, maybe about a week or so. Pat Connaughton is also about a couple of days away from returning. 3-week timeline that we were given for Pat, and this upcoming Sunday would be 3 weeks. So this team has done nothing but win, and now it looks like they're starting to round the corner in health. The injury report for tomorrow, Chris is still out, Pat is still out, Joe Ingles is going to be out until January, and Sandro Mamukelashvili is being evaluated for concussion. He is also out tomorrow. AJ Green, as we mentioned, had nasal surgery, so he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So it's going to be the same group. But we talked about this a little bit last night on Bucks Talk. Again, after every Bucks game, after you hear me and Dave Kane call the action, you can chime in with your thoughts on so far the win on Bucks Talk after each Bucks game on these airwaves. But we mentioned you got a back-to-back coming up this weekend. The Oklahoma City Thunder, don't look now, but they're actually playing relatively well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the reigning Western Conference Player of the Week, as Giannis is the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. The Timberwolves have a lot of talent. They have not been playing well. That's Friday night. Thunder are Saturday night. You finish off the Pistons tomorrow in this two-game set, but you had a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, a week ago. You played on Monday. You're already up to, what, 3 games in 5 days there? 4 games in 6 days is what the Bucks were playing when you loop in the Sunday game. It was 3 and 4 days. 4 games in 6 days. So then do the math. Add on 2 more. 5 games in 8 days here. You get to the weekend. 7 games in 11 days. Like, they are about to hit the wall, you got to assume. Early in the season, you had that odd start to the schedule where you get 3 days off, and then every other day, 2 back-to-backs. You don't get extended time off again until next weekend. So we talked about this last night on the show. There were some calls. A few of you that we talked with said, you know, when are we going to see Mamu? What about some of these other young guys? Let's get them some minutes. Obviously, with Mamu on the injury report, we're not going to see him tomorrow. We're not going to see A.J. Green tomorrow. But guys like Marjon Beauchamp, I think you're going to start to see some more minutes, as this is now 2 games in a row. We've seen Marjon Beauchamp start to get a little bit more runtime. Not necessarily meaningful minutes, and he's certainly not out there in closing situations, but 4 minutes for Marjon Beauchamp last night. It was around the same over the weekend. With this schedule, there's going to be a Marjon Beauchamp game, a Thanasis game coming up. Once Sandro Mamukelashvili clears this concussion evaluation, there's going to be some Mamu minutes as well. You've done your part to start the season with these wins. And again, wins in October and November, they count the same as wins in March and April, but you can't count on wins late in the season. Teams get healthier, and certainly the Bucks are in that mix, that they are getting healthier as well. But teams get healthier, moves are made, and look at some of these teams struggling now. One, that's not always going to be the case. And two, what makes it even more impressive to win these games now is teams like the Pistons, teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder you'll face this weekend, they tend to play better earlier in the season. Because it's once you start to get to the end and see the light at the end of the tunnel of, all right, We're almost mathematically eliminated. Time to shut it down. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has a sore quad. He's going to miss the next 10 games. You don't really see that until the second half of the season. So these teams that start hot now, and you look up and you think, how the heck are the Utah Jazz the 2 seed in the Western Conference? It's a much different story once you get later in the season. So win these games that you can now, because you're going to continue to have teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers nipping at your heels. When we return, we'll take a look at the marquee matchup of the week and examine the productivity we continue to see from this Bucks bench. We'll do that after this on Bucks Weekly. Final few minutes here on the program. It's Bucks Weekly, and the Bucks back in action tomorrow, hosting the Detroit Pistons, the final of that 2-game series at Fiserv Forum. It's a 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when we invite you to join me and Dave Kane for the radio broadcast. And as we mentioned earlier on the show, as soon as that game ends, stick with us on WTMJ for Bucks Talk as we recap potentially a 7-0 start to the season for the only remaining unbeaten team in the league, the Milwaukee Bucks. Taking a look at the bench, the Bucks sub of the week, I think this week is a no-brainer. It goes to Bobby Portis. In the games played since we last spoke, 4 of them, Bobby Portis has recorded 3 double-doubles. And in those 4 games, 56 points scored, 45 rebounds. You do the math. Average 3 double-doubles that he recorded. That's 11 rebounds a game that Bobby Portis is averaging, 14 points as well. And what we've talked about, the importance of Bobby Portis as that bench guy, again, it just makes him so much more lethal when you think about everything he was asked to do last year. He and Giannis, because of the absence of Brook Lopez. Feels really good to have a healthy Brook Lopez back, and it feels really good to have Bobby Portis back as essentially your sixth man. Marquee matchup of the week is going to be Friday night as the Bucks go on the road for the first time in seemingly forever. First time since opening night, October 20th, when they were in Philly. This time, Bucks go up north, take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Make note of that marquee tip time, 9 p.m. in the Midwest. Bucks and the Timberwolves, so we'll have an 8:30 start on the Bucks radio network. And mentioned one of those interesting scores. Remember, just 4 games on the NBA scoreboard tonight. Well, our first game of the night has gone final. The Chicago Bulls cap the comeback thanks to a 31-19 fourth quarter advantage. The Bulls beat the Brooklyn Nets in the debut of interim coach Jacques Vaughn, who we assume will step aside for Ime Udoka before the Nets' next game. But the Bulls storm back and beat the Brooklyn Nets 108-99. So it continues to be an absolute disaster to open up the season in Brooklyn. The other things to keep an eye on here is what we mentioned, some of those teams at the top of the standings that you can't quite figure out why. In the Western Conference, it's certainly what the Utah Jazz have been doing. Portland to some extent as well. In the East, it's pretty much gone as expected. The Nets having the 3rd worst record, maybe not quite as expected. The Heat have the 4th worst record. Bucks and Cavs right now atop the Eastern Conference. Celtics not that far behind. Again, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when we invite you to join us on the Bucks Radio Network for the Bucks and the Pistons. You've been listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.